It's Saturday morning, time for Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlead's Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
Emerald indeed. How you doing, Larry?
Tom, good morning. Good to see you, guy.
Great to be seen anywhere. Oh, we've got a lot going on here today.
Or hear you in this case, whatever.
Golly. Oh, goodness sakes. Boy. We got everything going on. What do we need to be doing in the garden, my friend?
Here come the bugs.
Here come the bugs.
Look out, people. Here come the bugs. Golly, we had a customer come in yesterday.
Oh, boy.
Brought in some her rose leaves,
uh-huh.
Sampled of them.
Mm-hmm.
Bagworms on her roses. That's rather odd.
Yes.
Perhaps a lack of juniper caused them to go there or something. I don't know what. But bagworms don't specifically attack just junipers. Apparently, they attack other things, too.
Oh, boy.
So be on the lookout for those. They are, at this stage of the game, they're fairly easy to control. The bagworms at this point are early in their youth, so they can be easily controlled. And the best thing probably is the BT or Bacillus thuringiensis, Dipel, those common names. Anyway, look for a B with a whole bunch of little letters and a T with a bunch of little letters.
you'll figure it out.
Say, hey, Google, Bacillus thuringiensis.
Yeah, there
you
go.
Who knows what you'll get? I do Latin on that thing all the time, and I get the weirdest stuff. So
you just do that and mess with Google. I know how you work. Hey, Google.
But anyway, the bagworms are starting to become a little bit more prevalent, and they seem to be going across the whole platform as far as infestations are concerned.
Oh, boy.
And golly, when they're small like this and there's a lot of them, they can decimate a plant very quickly. Species to look out for, of course, are species of juniper and spruce. Dwarf arborvitae spruce, the blue spruce can get attacked by these. Look at them very carefully, and if you see little bags of things dangling down, then you do need to take some action on that. You can try some soapy water. It might work, but they have that protective cocoon around them, so it makes it difficult. So that's how the BT works. It's a bacterial spore.
Mm-hmm.
And it stays on the plant itself after you apply it, and the insect eats that. And it along with whatever they're else they're dining on, be it a spruce or a juniper or something, and it paralyzes their digestive tract to the point where they're no longer hungry and they just starve. It's like an evil way.
Very.
but then again, I know a couple of years ago, Kevin Potter had a problem with his emerald arborvitae.
Oh, no.
Just overnight, just covered in them. It happened to one at my house, too, an emerald arborvitae. Just got eaten up just instantly. You know, you go to work in the morning, it looks fine. You come home, where is it?
Oh, something used to be there, and that wasn't it.
Here come the bugs.
Here come the bugs.
But anyway, your landscape plants are valuable. They're expensive to replace. So while it's cool, get out, look, and see. It's 71 degrees right now. It's really beautiful. Get out and check them all and see if you start to see some damage or some bagworms, because they're pretty bad. Tent caterpillars are coming around, too.
Oh, boy.
Remember, I don't know if you heard 2 years ago, but the whole town looked like we were decorated for Halloween.
I was told stories about this. It wasn't pretty. Between that and the flood, I heard stories.
You can't turn that into a rope or something, or maybe some fine clothing sheets or something.
Mm.
But anyway, so they're starting to come out. I see just a little bit of bagworms here and there, so watch out for those. Get ready for those. Soapy water works real well for tent caterpillars.
Okay,
it controls them real well. Another problem we're having with bugs this year are the scale on crepe myrtles. Now, scale is an extraordinarily difficult insect to control.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than most of them. It looks a bit like a horseshoe crab, if you've ever seen that.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
It looks exactly like one, only considerably smaller, of course.
Yes.
And because of that carapace around it, it's very well shielded from a lot of your insecticides. So it's a very difficult one to control. And we have had good luck. I've got a customer downtown who's had crepe myrtle scale for years and years and years. And in the past, they said imidacloprid wouldn't work on that. But it does. And the customer no longer has mite or mite scale on her crepe myrtles, and they're beautiful and blooming right now. So look at your crepe myrtle carefully and look for little tiny horseshoe crabs.
Looking things, yeah.
on your crepe myrtle.
Not edible. And
another side effect of the mites is a darkening of the stem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the scale exudes a milky sap called honeydew, and it's a very sugary substance. It attracts ants. And integrated in that exudation, I guess, or that stuff they ooze out, the sugary stuff, are eggs. Ants crawl through that, carry their eggs around. So it's a very very efficient symbiotic relationship between the scale and ants, because the ants are attracted to the sugar, and the ants, by walking through it, carry the eggs on their legs, and they get spread around that way from one plant to another.
Hmm. Interesting how that all works.
So that's another thing to look for, is a darkening of the stem, an uncharacteristic darkening of the stem, and also a typically smaller leaf than normal on the crepe myrtle, and lack of blooms. There are some varieties of crepe myrtle that we have found to be resistant to the scale. The Ebony series crepe myrtle, I've not seen one with any crepe, with any scale in it at all. So, and the Ebony series has a dark purple leaf on it. So it's kind of an interesting plant all around, really. Mm-hmm. I don't see as heavy a bloom, or perhaps it's going to bloom a little bit later than the regular other crepe myrtles, but it does have the advantage of insect resistance and some colorful purple leaves. We're so used to having to use the purple leaf plum, or this purple that and that purple that, and they have problems with bugs and borers and scale and all that, but these don't, so... Even though it doesn't bloom, or hasn't yet bloomed this year very heavily, you do get the advantage of the purple leaves with a no-care plant.
There you go. Color without the care.
Exactly. So that's kind of the story with the scale on crepe myrtles. On your Bermuda grass, it's time for that July fertilization. If you have a means by which it can be watered, you want to do so prior to applying the fertilizer, and then again afterwards, just so it'll diffuse properly into soil and not burn your grass up.
Yeah, burnt grass is just not sightly.
Now, I say fertilization, it's not a heavy one. It's just a maintenance, just to keep the color up. And golly, I've done that to my yard this year, and it's just beautiful. And I put down some milorganite, and it's a really dark green color. And I don't typically fertilize until there's rain in Osage County, or the color turns yellow, or I have a means to water it, or so you want to make sure you have a means by which it can be irrigated prior to fertilizing your Bermuda grass. Zoysia grass kind of the same way; it needs a little bit of consistent light fertilization throughout the summer to keep its color up and its vigor up, keep its strength going. So. Kind of, that's it. Don't do anything to your fescue now.
Don't.
No fertilizer.
No.
It's going to go basically summer dormant here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to encourage a lot of growth on your fescue grass at this point. You do want to be mowing it tall. And when you do irrigate, you want to irrigate at a rate of 1 inch per week at a frequency which will allow the surface of the soil to dry out between.
Mm-hmm.
That helps keep Phytophthora under control. That too much?
No. You want to make sure that everything is growing up good.
Yeah, Phytophthora is a disease of the stem of the fescue, and it causes the vascular tissue to collapse.
Right.
And it dies and turns into this brown mat on the ground. So you do want to let it dry up between water.
Kevin's ears are burning. He must have heard you talking about his plant.
Oh, boy.
You know, the webworms.
Yeah, the webworms. Huh?
They've started, hadn't they?
Tent caterpillars, yeah, webworms, yeah.
I saw my pecan tree, one of them.
Uh-oh.
They love pecans and walnuts and even certain oaks, don't they?
Yes, they really go after birch, too.
And so we got to get our Dawn dishwashing liquid out and start washing them off.
Yeah.
Does that smother them? Is that what it does?
Yeah, smothers them. I noticed at the store they have 4X Dawn.
Ooh. 4X.
4X.
Is that good?
It's four times concentrated, yeah. So
thicker.
So, anyway, thicker, yeah.
That much thicker.
You buy less water. So
buy less water.
More soap, less water.
So that is, and actually I've used that even to kill wasps. We had a big old nasty wasp nest at the nursery. And I sprayed it with a fairly high concentration of that. And, man, they were flying right at me. And they just ran out of gas. And
took a nosedive. You know?
I was like, oh, no, what did I do? And then I could see the eyes coming at me. Ooh, I'm so mad. And then they just dropped down.
Oh, my. So, we've got our phone lines open, by the way. We heard Kevin's phone ring. our phones can ring, too, at 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back after this two-minute timeout.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Now the summer is here. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has summer sale items to get your garden growing. Save 30, 40, 50% off select items. There's still plenty of flowering plants with lots of colors to choose from for your summer flower bed. And Green Thumb has a new shipment of trees and shrubs in for landscaping. Check out Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouse on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
With Make-A-Wish, the impossible becomes possible. A girl battling cancer can become a race car driver battling the course. The boy showing all the nurses his fire trucks can take the helm of a real one. Wishes can give kids with critical illnesses the strength to keep fighting, get better, and grow up.
Where there's a wish, there's a way.
Wishes need you. Visit Make-A-Wish at wish.org.
Welcome back, and it's time now for our Green Country Gardener Show, and we've got Larry in studio, and of course our phone number is at 336-1400, 1-800-749-5936. We're talking about soapy water and spraying things with a little bit of soapy water.
The advantage of using soapy water, I'll say, for tent caterpillars is that if you just spray it up there and it happens to fall on you.
Uh-huh.
Well, just take a bath. I mean,
you probably need it after you've been sweating.
Yeah, you're sweating. You need it anyway. But it does. It works physiologically. In other words, the insects cannot develop an immunity to it because it doesn't work through the nervous system or reproductive system or digestive system. So they can't develop an immunity to soapy water. A parallel to that would be the neem oil. Mm-hmm. The neem oil works very well also to control insects. And it doubles up also as a life cycle interrupter, and it makes a good fungicide as well.
The things you can use with a little bit of
pretty
soap.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, indeed.
So it's safe to use in your tomatoes, for instance, if you have a problem with bugs in your tomatoes and things. It's safe to use, and your tomatoes won't taste like soap. But
No. All you have to do is wash them off. You'll be fine.
But neem oil is another insecticide that I've used on my fruit trees, actually, very successfully.
Mm-hmm.
We have a color, do we?
Nope. No.
Oh, okay. Yet. Anyway, so also there's another one called spinosad, which I've talked about this in the past.
Spinosad.
It's pretty safe to use also.
All right.
On your plants. So, however, none of these really control mites. Mites are arachnids. They're not insects.
Mm-hmm.
They have a different
composition,
physiology than insects do. However, they still breathe through their skin, so the neem oil, the soap will work on those. Mites are real bad about getting on your dwarf Alberta spruce and your boxwoods and your junipers.
I heard you talking about the arborvitaes.
Yes.
Is there still a chance that they'll get them?
Oh, definitely.
So I need to spray them today?
I would say yes. You could use that BT on them.
And I thought we used that other stuff. Thermotet would have... What is it? What's another one?
Imidacloprid?
No.
Bacillus thuryngensis?
Oh, God.
Yeah, we were trying to spell that one a minute ago.
Larry. Starts with a T.
T. Oh, Thuricide.
Thuricide.
Same
there
thing.
You go.
Okay.
That's BT, yeah.
That's what I think.
Goes with several names. Thuricide is just a brand name.
I thought it's past time now. They're dead. They've already done their life cycle, hadn't they?
No, actually, the spring is a little belated this year due to the weather.
My arborvitaes really look good right now. They've grown big and tall.
Okay. A lot of things have done very well. There's a lot of tender new growth out there.
Yeah. The bugs like that.
Yep. Buffet time. Yeah.
It's easy to chew, isn't
it?
Yeah.
And it's plentiful. So you really... So you really have to be careful, and you really have to look at these plants very carefully, very closely, and use all your senses. Use your sense of smell, too. Especially around your junipers and your arborvitae.
What do they smell like?
You will have a kind of a sour turpentine smell.
Is that what those bugs smell like?
Or if you remember the days of carburetors.
Is that
when they've stopped working, that sour gasoline smell.
Is that their manure or something? That they're,
yeah. Uh-huh.
They're putting out.
Yeah, it's just the smell. It's the what? Yeah.
Wow.
So I walk up to people's houses and I can.
You can smell it right there.
I can smell it. I'll knock on the door, ding dong. You know,
ding dong.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? Yeah, you've got mites on your boxwoods. I thought we were talking about sprinklers.
I can smell those mites.
I can smell them from here.
I smell the manure. It's like a cow lot out here.
Exactly.
Oh.
So, and the mites are fairly easy to control with a surfactant like Dawn soap or the neem oil.
I need to get that sprayer out and go to pounding on it.
You need to check first. Now, you can take a blank piece of paper like this.
Oh, I know. You've told me
and
this
And do the paper
before.
Test. That's where you shake the branches on top. And be sure to put on, if you're like me, you got to put on your reading glasses. Your 2.0s. And then, you'll see the little things crawling around. Another thing you can do is after you shake it on there, you can rub your hand across it. And there'll be red and brown streaks on there from the insects being crushed by your hand. So, and that will indicate you have mites also.
And Larry, a dirty hand.
Larry.
Yeah.
It's just easier to go spray it. Just spray them and be done.
It is. Yeah. And the sprays are fairly safe to use. The soap is fairly safe, real safe to use. The neem oil is very safe to use also.
But that's not going to get those things on my arborvitaes.
The bagworms? No. You'll have to use the...
Thuricide.
Thuricide for that, yeah. Which is also very sad. And I like to use... They're very effective. This new stuff come out. It really works well. So...
And they love that tender growth, huh?
Yeah. Yum. First thing to go in the buffet. Yes, sir. But
anyway. The buffet. So,
Also, some people's plants there, they're bringing them in or experiencing some difficulty with some of the plants that were in areas where the soil was poorly drained or heavy or were water sat for quite some time.
Like all of ours.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And that's due primarily to a partial loss of the root system.
Yeah.
And as the root system rots away, the plant still has a root system on there, but it has to recover, make new roots. Yeah, the root hairs rot away first, and those are the ones, the little tiny little root hairs.
Yep.
Remember biology class?
Oh, yeah.
And that's where the water is drawn up, and due to the excessive moisture we've had, the plants have lost a good portion of those. But really, a plant can live with just half of its root system and do just fine. But anyway, if you get to the point where it's really bad, then you're going to have some stress on the plants.
Yeah.
And that's nothing to be overly worried about because it's just the plant ditching leaves and cutting off transpiration just so it can stay alive. So it's not that, chances are it's not that big a deal.
And I'll tell you one
thing,
one thing that's really done well with all this moisture, the crabgrass is a really good crop this year. We've got a really good crop. There's a bumper crop of that stuff. I'm going to get the MSMA out today, Larry. Yeah. I am going to start burning that stuff.
I went to a sprinkler, customer's house, a sprinkler system we did in 1999, and they had a seal go out bad on a sprinkler head, which I replaced. And somebody across the street down the road was mowing his tall crabgrass. And he, oh, poor guy, it was hot. And the mower was underpowered.
For that crabgrass.
So I went over there and did all the repair, came back, and he was gone, and the grass was just cut. It would just, he just quit.
Now, let me tell you, if you get that MSMA out, you'll burn it back.
I don't know which gave up first, the mower or the mowee, but but the crabgrass declared a victory in this case.
This moisture's really made a good crop of it.
And actually, as time goes on, the crabgrass with the MSMA is going to be more and more difficult to control. As it gets established, as
just keep pouring more.
Not hardly, Kevin. No, But anyway, quinclorac is the new crabgrass control. It doesn't have the arsenic in it that MSMA does.
It probably doesn't do as good a job.
Does. It works pretty well. However, it shares the same effectiveness or lack of effectiveness at the later stage of the crabgrass plant. So if your crabgrass is starting to produce seeds, then it's going to be very difficult to control. So,
a more chemical. All
you can do is get a more powerful lawnmower at this point.
More horsepower, right?
Boy, yeah, it takes more horsepower. Yes, yes.
And a sharper blade.
Yeah, and you have to mow it more frequently, too, because it does grow extraordinarily faster than the Bermuda grass and azolla.
It does.
After you mow it, it's up.
The crabgrass and the yellow nut sedge. I got really good crops.
That nut sedge is a mess this year.
It is.
You
can't get rid of it.
But as soon as it dries up, it'll die out. Right. Nut grass likes a fairly moist environment. And we've had that share of that this year. In our amount of precipitation, we're equivalent to what we have about the first part of October.
Wow. That's a lot of precipitation.
Yeah, we have had extraordinary amount of money, and that's why my schedule's in chaos.
Oh, I bet it is.
But anyway, we've had enough rain to carry us through October.
Wow, that's amazing. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in about 2 minutes, and this is, of course, the Green Country Gardener. You can get a hold of us at 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Back in 2 minutes.
For these great bargains of the month, shop Peters True Value in Dewey and save. Now through July 31st, pick up a supply of Rayovac batteries, 16-pack of double or AAA batteries, your choice, for $5.99 each. Stay cool inside with a HomePoint 16-inch oscillating stand fan for $16.99. And for outside, pick up for your patio an extra-large zero-gravity chair by Four Seasons Courtyard for just $49.99 and a folding side table for just $14.99, both in various colors to choose from. Shop and save this month at Peters True Value in Dewey.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke. When I woke up, I couldn't speak or walk.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
182 over 100, and I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest, and then a stroke. Everything changed. It felt like my life was over.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke. If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
180 over 110, and I had a stroke. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If you've come off your treatment plan, get back on it, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe. Everything's changed. Head to toe.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Kevin, thinking about saving for retirement?
Yeah, but how do I start?
It's easy with Avo, a retirement coach. Let's learn the Avo bet. Hey,
just for taking action.
Not anxiety?
No, Kevin, you're gonna be fine.
You sick?
Barely. V is for variety.
Huh. Change up my strategy. Okay.
O is for optimize your savings.
Let Avo lead the way.
Visit aceyourretirement.org today.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
All right. Good morning and welcome back. Larry is with us here. And, of course, we're talking plants. We're talking greenery. We're talking shrubs and bugs today. Bugs. And you can get a hold of us here at 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. We were on the bug subject quite a bit there.
Let's talk about plants and what they're doing right now.
Okay.
Crepe myrtles are an early part of full swing right now at this mm-hmm. point. And because of the past precipitation, we can anticipate a rather showy display on the crepe myrtles.
Mm-hmm.
So ready for that. And actually, a lot of them are starting to really put on a really big shoe right
really
now.
Really big shoe. Colorful.
The resources are plentiful, and they do very well as far as that's concerned. Mm-hmm. The azaleas are beginning to produce blooms for the spring, so don't touch them. I think we touched on that last week,
yeah. As
are the dogwoods. Tomato plants. You want to make sure at this point your tomatoes are well mulched. And I just like to use this little straw. Works real well around them. And that keeps the surface of the soil dry so you don't get that bacteria problem. We have a caller.
Let's go to the phones. Hi, good morning, and welcome. Your question, please.
Okay, the question I have, he mentioned about neem oil on tomato plants.
Yeah.
Did that deter the butterflies and stuff from pollinating them? Put that on there?
I would not get it on the flowers itself. No.
Okay, well, that'd be pretty tough to spray for bugs and not get them on the flowers.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
However, typically the flowers have a kind of a nodding habit to it. In other words, they point downwards for the most part.
Yeah.
So if you were to emphasize your spraying from above.
Well, if I see bugs moving in, I got to do something. But so far, I've been lucky.
Yeah, well, the neem oil will be a safe way. Now, you can use, say, a hand sprayer or a hand pump sprayer and get specific. And avoid, unless you have a whole field of tomatoes.
No. I'm not much of a big tomato farmer.
Yeah, and then
five ten plants. That's it.
Yeah, if you do specific applications like that, then you can control them. But if you do a general application, you might cause some fertility problems due to the pistils and stamens being covered in this neem oil stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Also, I come across a little old black bug, shiny, maybe there's some greenish on it that was starting to eat on my grapes and my various plants around here.
Yes.
Can you tell me what those are? They're hard shelled.
Specifically, no, but using the neem oil should control it somewhat, and the dormant oil will work well also. A spinosad is a good, it's kind of the replacement for 7, if you will, as a general insecticide.
Well, I went ahead and used 7 on them because it wasn't on any, the grapes, first year on them, and of course, the azaleas and stuff, it wasn't anything that would hurt. So I went ahead and used 7 spray, and that seemed to control them. But they left sort of, like it is after you eat, they leave sort of a wet leaf. They just leave the range.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I appreciate you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. And, of course, your call could be next at 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. And, Larry, what's next up?
The bugs crawl in, the bugs crawl out.
We're getting buggy.
Oh, you're bugging me. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. We're getting buggy.
Oh, golly. At the nursery.
Yes.
We have a container and ball and burlap trees on sale, about 30% off now on the container trees. So you can buy a tree, basically, and get one free on the on the trees. Well, you have a caller?
Yeah, we do. Let's go. Hi, you're on the air. Welcome. Your question, please.
Sir, I was wanting to ask you about bugs on cedar trees.
Yes.
They're in a cocoon.
Yeah, those are bagworms.
Bagworms?
Uh-huh.
I've treated them twice now with Malathion.
Right.
But the instructions say only treat them two times a year, but it doesn't seem to have worked.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Try the Bacillus thuringiensis, the BT.
What's that, sir?
Thuricide. Yeah,
I see.
Thuricide is a microbial insecticide that works on insects in the larval stages in which the bagworms are. And I've had very good luck with that, personally using that. And my customers have good feedback on it, too.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
All right, then, again, our numbers are 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Back of the shop, you said trees. We got some trees going on there.
Well, trees, yeah, they're on sale this week. Mm-hmm. It's a good time to plant trees, really. We especially container trees, bald and burlap trees.
Uh-huh.
You don't lose the root system when you plant them.
No.
So it's just being basically transplanted from the container in which they are or the root ball into the ground. Mm-hmm. So anyway, come check them out, too, if you want a tree or two. Good time to get them because they're on sale. Hostas are blooming. The Encore azaleas are showing some color, which is unusual to have an azalea bloom in July. But they
Well, we'll take it when we can get it, that's for
and,
sure.
We'll get a caller, do we?
Yes, we do. Good. Hi, good morning. You're on the air. Your question, your comment.
The call-in program hasn't started yet, has it?
Oh, we're on.
I think he's talking about consumer calls.
Oh, no. We'll get to that a little bit later. That'll be in about 25 minutes. Thank you, sir.
Okay. All right,
there you go. Sorry about that. But you can call in now at 336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 with your question for Larry. And we've got, we were back talking about the trees, and we were moving on to some other flowers.
Yeah, the Encore azaleas are unique in that they do bloom sporadically throughout the summer and heavily in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
They do need a bit of sunshine, though. We have actually used them on the west side of the house in the landscape. Mm-hmm. They've done quite well. And at the nursery, back when we were up the road a long time ago, we were in a trailer.
Got to start somewhere,
we
man.
We had some azaleas on the west side of the thing, the full hot sun. And they did fine. They bloomed real heavily. So they can take more sun than most people think. They don't really require the full heavy shade. In fact, they bloom less in the full heavy shade. So if they do need some sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
So azaleas will work very well. The important thing with azaleas is, though, is to plant them in peat moss.
Okay, because of the pH?
pH, yeah. And they're ericaceous, which is a trait that is shared by, of course, azaleas and rhododendrons and blueberries and cranberries, et cetera, et cetera. Those plants are what we call ericaceous or acid-requiring. So that is prerequisite to planting azaleas, is to having this proper soil preparation, as you should with hydrangeas, which is why most people's aren't blooming, is because
things are just a little off this year.
They don't bloom in the clay. Some people's are just doing great. When it gets hot like this, you can anticipate less bloom show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some new hydrangeas. The Bobo hydrangeas is an example. It's a white one, and it seems to perform rather well in the sun, in the heat. Contrary to most premise for hydrangea is that they don't like the heat, but these do that. Despite that, they bloom. They're white colored and they're really kind of showy. You know, we planted one at a house in Woodland Park,
looking pretty good, isn't it?
And this thing is 6 feet tall, just gorgeous, covered in white blooms right now. So,
I bet it is.
So they're doing very well. We did one in Glenwood and some around town, and they seem to be performing rather well. So anyway. This next generation of hydrangeas, if you will, are performing very well in our climate.
Mm-hmm.
So you might consider that. You don't get the blue color or the pink color as you do with the PG hydrangeas, but there's less effort involved with growing them. So they might be a consideration.
Yeah.
The hardy hibiscus are growing aggressively and blooming real well right now. So you might consider a hardy hibiscus in an area where you might have had some roses. And you've had some difficulty with the rosette's disease, as most people are in town. The hardy hibiscus are immune to that, and really I haven't seen much of any pest that bothers the hardy hibiscus. It's a native plant. It's an American native plant and indigenous to swampland areas, lowland areas like that, which there are a lot of pests.
Besides
the alligators, there's bugs all over the place. So these have developed kind of an immunity to that, and really, as far as the quality of the leaf is concerned and not having insect damage, this one is a good performer.
Very good.
We've got a variety that has red leaves on it and big old red flowers, and they bloom for an extended period of time in the summer. They're really quite showy. So you might consider, if you've had difficulty with roses, as most people have, you might consider hardy hibiscus in place of that, because it does bloom for a long period of time.
Yeah, you feel like you probably get a little bit more for your money on that.
The growers are coming up, and it's just not really in production yet with the disease-resistant roses. So that's on the horizon. So we'll be back in the rose business someday pretty soon. But they have to develop all the colors, and they have to get all the other characteristics. So it takes a lot of research to produce a new rose. So it'll be a little while, but they'll come out with it, and we'll be back in the rose business again.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with a little bit more. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout, so stay tuned.
Now the summer is here. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has summer sell items to get your garden growing. Save 30, 40, 50% off select items. There's still plenty of flowering plants with lots of colors to choose from for your summer flower bed. And Green Thumb has a new shipment of trees and shrubs in for landscaping. Check out Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouse on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
Say, Myrtle, look out there in the pantry. Ain't that cute?
What's cute?
Your new shelf paper with all that cute little fellers on them. The ants acting like you're going to a picnic carrying all that food.
You darn fool. Put your glasses on, because then there are real ants moving about.
Well, I'll be. Look, there's one crawling up my pant leg.
I'm going to call Pratt Pass to Bartlesville right now.
We can't get ants out of your pants, but we sure can get them out of your pantry. Call 918-336-BUGS. That's 918-336-2847 for Pratt Pest of Bartlesville.
The opioid epidemic is affecting countless lives and communities nationwide, including young adults. Did you know approximately 45% of opioid prescriptions to adolescents are made by dentists? These drugs, such as oxycodone or codeine, can be addictive and are often prescribed after wisdom teeth removal. For many young people, wisdom teeth extraction often represents their first exposure to opioid medications. To help reduce your risk of misuse or the risk for a loved one, if prescribed an opioid, ask your dentist to consider limiting prescriptions to 3 days. Using over-the-counter pain relievers, such as a combination of ibuprofen and acetaminophen, and properly disposing of all unused medications. That includes returning drugs to your pharmacy or mixing with water and an unappealing substance, such as cat litter, and putting in the trash. Recovery from opioid addiction requires a whole-person approach, addressing clinical, social, and community influences. For more information, go to shatterproof.org. This has been a message from Shatterproof, United Healthcare, and this station.
Good morning and welcome back. Our phone lines are open at 336-1400, or you can get a free call here at 1-800-749-5936. And I was talking with Larry off the air here with the Green County Gardener Show. We got to get this Facebook Live. We're going to work on getting that to our start date next Saturday so that, you know, not only can you hear the show, you can watch the show. Not only can you call in, hopefully we'll be able to take some of your questions that way, too. And, you know, so, you
well,
know,
it's not
expending.
It's not an overly exciting venue in here, but
I call it the job, you know. But we have a lot of fun. And there, a lot of folks have never seen the inside of a radio station, you know, because they just never had.
Yeah.
So we'll
Yeah, 10 by 12 feet.
That's about it. It's close quarters in here, folks. Yeah. We make the best of it.
You bet.
But it'll be a little bit of fun. So we're gonna work toward getting that. So you get both the video and the audio, and it ought to be good. What do we have on the agenda here?
That'll
I lost my place.
We're going to talk a little bit about Rose of Sharon right now.
Okay, yeah.
And that's a plant that, because of the good weather we've had, is really exhibiting a lot of color. Just volumes of big blooms on them. And they're really quite showy. It's another member of the hibiscus family.
It is.
Rose of Sharon is, right? As is, of course, the hardy hibiscus, and as is cotton, and as is okra. That's probably why it does so well in Oklahoma. Okra does really well. Uh-huh. Anyway, it's a value for its large flowers produced mid to late summer, which is we're early, kind of early summer right now. When few other shrubs will bloom, and the plant grows in sun or part shade, and in just about any soil. It thrives, of course, in good soil, but the better soil you have, the more more blooms you're going to have, and so on and so on. And it's either slow to a moderate growth rate. So this one doesn't really grow that fast. It can get out of hand, though. However, it responds very well to pruning during the dormant season, during the wintertime. Mm-hmm. And coming in the spring, it'll put all kinds of new growth, and you'll have some color on it, too. So anyway, the flowers are typically are cool colors in red, pink, white, and purple, depending on the cultivar, and peak blooms takes place in August. Mm-hmm. You prune in late winter or early spring, does very well there. Frequent, severe pruning gives fewer but larger flowers on it.
Depends on what you want.
However, this year is a little bit of an exception.
Yeah.
The Hibiscus syriacus is the genus and species, is a national flower of South Korea. The flower appears on their national emblems, and Korea is compared to whatever. You know, pretty cool in South Korea. They really like the hardy or the rose of Sharon. They've come up with all kinds of varieties, too. So typically, the stock hardy hibiscus is kind of a purplish blue color flower. Lots of them. They last about a day, and then they kind of plop to the ground. They put on another one. They keep producing flowers as it grows. But you've got colors now. We've got pinks and reds and doubles and so on. All kinds of have fun. We even have one that's 5-in-1. Yeah.
Wow.
Basically, they start with little bitty ones and put five of them together, and it makes 5-in-1 different blooms. So that's kind of cool.
It is.
The stems kind of meld together at such close proximity, and it makes a single plant. And then you've got five different color flowers on it. So anyway, that's kind of interesting in the landscape.
An eye catcher, that's for sure.
This one, give it lots of room. Keep it away from the house because it will get fairly large unless you want to keep it clipped. You can trim them up as a tree, which makes, I think, a very attractive plant. By nature, they grow kind of narrow and upright, which is cool. However, you can de-emphasize that by keeping it short, and then it'll spread out a little bit if you want a more rounded top or even a flat-top plant. But I do like the Rose of Sharon in a tree form rather than just this big bush thing because it does make more of a specimen that way, and the flowers are elevated above, and you can have plants around it.
So, yeah, you can do a little bit. It's got more flexibility.
Right.
Yeah.
It prefers a well-drained soil.
Uh-huh.
And it grows, like I said previously, in about any soil. So it's a very rugged, hardy plant. And it has very few pests, if any, actually, which is kind of tends to be the thing across the platform on hibiscus. Remember the hibiscus family?
Yes, yes.
They tend to be more resistant to a lot of insects and diseases and so on. It has a fairly short lifespan, though.
That's that drawback.
Yeah, there's a drawback. Yeah. You'll get about 10 or 15 years. Then it starts to get stem anthracnose problems with it. It just gets old. So, well, golly, in 10 years, it'll come up with something new. Yeah. So you replace it anyway.
Yeah, you know, 10 years is a lifetime for a landscape in some cases.
I've got some 30 years old that are still living.
I bet you do, though.
But anyway, it has a tendency to make little Rose of Sharons all over the yard.
Oh, you got to kind of keep an eye on that.
It recedes very efficiently.
Yeah.
So be prepared for that, too. And for some people, that's kind of an advantage because they're fairly easy to transplant.
Sure.
This is a plant that I have transplanted in July before, and it looks sad for a few days. But then
give it a little
bit of time. Yeah. Let it develop new roots, and it'll survive a transplanting just about any time.
Let's take a quick call before we take our last break.
Very good.
Hi, good morning, and welcome to the program. Your question.
Yes, good morning. Bermuda height.
Yes.
I see recommendations from 1.5 inches to 3 inches.
Right.
What should it be this time of year?
I would go 2.5 to 3 inches at this point in time. Typically, you have to water it less when it's taller like that.
Okay.
So merely by just shading the ground, it doesn't get as hot, but but it does do a lot better if it's mowed fairly high. It doesn't shock it so much every time it's mowed.
Okay.
I've got my mower set plumb to the top.
Read one article that said, you know, if you let it go too tall, then fungus and he had problems from that side.
Well, so. We don't have much of a problem with that here, typically in the summertime.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All right, and thank you for your call. We'll be back with more in just a little bit after this two-minute timeout.
The most important feature in a window is trust. So go with a name you know, Anderson, the time-proven choice found in more homes than any other. And Anderson is the brand rated by builders as the most weather-tight, highest quality, and most durable. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson, the most trusted name in windows. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overly Woods Lumber Company on No Water Road in Bartlesville.
Shortly after Charles Lindbergh's transatlantic flight to Europe, the Dole Pineapple Company sponsored a race from San Francisco to Honolulu in 1927. Lindbergh refused to fly in it, noting he couldn't miss the continent of Europe, but he sure as heck could miss Hawaii. Frank Phillips saw the race as a great opportunity to advertise his new Phillips Aviation Fuel. Frank found his pilot, a Hollywood stunt pilot by the name of Arthur Goebbels, and named his plane the Woolerock in honor of the ranch. Eight planes took off from San Francisco on August 16, 1927, and only two planes finished the race. The flight took over 26 hours, and the winner was the Woolerock. Charles Lindbergh described it as the greatest event in air history. For the next year, that plane barnstormed the country, advertising Phillips fuel, and finally returned to Woolerock. Mr. Phillips instructed his staff to build a stone hangar for the airplane, which they did, and he stored the plane there. As he collected more and more art and artifacts, he stored a lot of it in that hangar until he finally had to enlarge it. Today, you know that airplane hangar is the first room of the museum as you walk out of the dome room. Next time you visit, remember what that room's initial purpose was back in 1928. That same airplane hangs proudly today in the museum at Woolerock, where magic still happens every day. Welcome home to Woolerock.
All right, good morning, and welcome back to the Green Country Garden. We've got Larry Glass here with us, and your phone calls have been coming in nice and steady here today, and we appreciate all the questions that you have for us. Anything you'd like to close out with, Larry?
Well, annuals, actually.
Yes.
Annuals are most of them are tropical plants. Your periwinkle is a tropical plant. Marigolds and so on, they grow in tropical climates. They're doing very well. Two plants that are really standouts this year because of the precipitation is two of them is the hardy coleus or the sun coleus and the sun patience doing really quite well. And I plant mine, they get a little bit of shielding in the afternoon from the maple trees. But those wascally maple trees and their roots, though. Well, I mean,
they're big. They're all over.
Yeah, well, the roots are a mess. But anyway, they're performing really well in my yard, and I came home and one day, and they were kind of wilting from not being watered. And that's the drawback of the sun patients is that they let you know very well when they need water.
help me.
So I pulled out my iPhone and or my Samsung phone and pulled up my Beehive app.
Oh, the app. Okay.
And then turn on the sprinkler system. And just walked in the house. That's pretty cool.
Called it a day.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phone here. Hi, good morning. Your question, please.
Well, hi.
Hi.
I have a split-leaf philodendron.
Yes.
My son and daughter-in-law got it for me when they were dating almost 40 years ago.
My goodness.
And, last summer it just got so beautiful. And then I bring it in the house, of course, in the winter.
Right.
And the ends of the leaves, they're just kind of turning brown and hanging down and looks bad. One or two of the leaves looks nice, and I don't know what's happening to it.
That sounds to me like it's having an emotional meltdown.
Oh.
No. No. That's a typical sign in philodendrons of either being pot-bound or maybe watered a bit too much.
Mm. Oh.
At any rate, you're losing part of your root system, and that's how the plant responds when it's lost part of the root system.
Oh.
And that's due to either inadequate or superfluous water, or perhaps it's just outgrown its pot and needs to be repotted.
Well, it's in a pretty good size pot already.
Yeah.
I mean, a pretty huge pot. But
right.
I thought maybe, and I don't fertilize it. I don't know if I've ever fertilized it.
Another thing you want to look for is mineral deposits on the inside of the pot.
Oh, okay.
If there is a brownish or a whitish colored residue on the container itself, then perhaps you got a buildup of minerals from the water or maybe even a little bit of salt in there. And a remedy for that is what we call leaching, is you put it outside and water the hound out of it.
Okay.
And let it drain through. And then perhaps do that repetitively in order to leach out any minerals that might be built up in the soil.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So, if one of those three items, it could be. It could be mineral buildup, it could be pot bound, or perhaps it's getting too much water.
Okay.
But living in the same pair of shoes for 40 years, it probably has a little bit of mineral buildup in it.
Yes, it certainly could. Well, I really don't want to lose it. It's just real special to me.
Yeah.
I sure appreciate what you do. We enjoy listening
now,
to you.
One more thing on the philodendron. If it is developing a problem that you really can't identify, you might consider air layering it. And that is where you take one of the branches and put a pot beside it and set it in there and let it root into that.
Oh, okay. All righty, I'll try that need to.
All right, very good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, honey, and have a good day.
You too.
All righty, thank you very much. And we want to thank everybody who called in today, Larry. It's been a wonderful show.
Well, come by the nursery and look at the good stuff we have. All kinds of color. We got some good old color pots that'll make a good impression on the front porch and pretty up the patio, too. And all kinds of trees and shrubs, good inventory. And check it out. And we'll see you next week. Keep your shovel sharp.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville.